All right, let's open our Bibles, and we're in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and Lord willing, we're nearing the end, so many different ways, and but again, so thankful, and I have to tell you, it just is amazing, the treasure. I am just so thankful. It truly is getting more exciting, and I hope the urgency, by the grace of God, to continue on and to continue to grow in this grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just continues to grip our hearts. But in the 11th chapter, Brother Paul is continuing his plea to receive the very best. It's all throughout the wonderful epistles that were given to this sweet brother, but it is so mighty in this 11th chapter. So may God just anoint this time, and may we rightfully divide His wonderful truth. Praise be to God. All right, in verse 1, it says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Now, we had just come through the 10th chapter, and we left off there in that 18th verse where he said, "Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." It's who the Lord is validating, and the Lord validates those that are in His Word, that are in the very will of God. And this sweet brother is obviously anointed and in the very perfect will of God, as the Lord is using this sweet vessel to bring forth the message, and the message of the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But he's saying here, "Would to God could bear with me a little in my folly." Paul's getting a little sarcastic. I think, and again, this is the Word of God, but I appreciate, again, that the Godhead has such a sense of humor. I hope you do, too. And people can be a little bit tiring. Can you imagine that? And these Corinthians, I know, were a little bit tiring, but I also know that the God of all grace and mercy, and the One who always abides faithful, He'll still put up with them. But you can see how precious this is, because what He's saying here is that this folly that he's talking about might be really twofold here. The folly is Brother Paul's humility, because all of these ones that were running around Corinth at this time were showing the letters of commendation. "Well, look where I studied. Well, look at this philosopher who validates me. And look at my writing, might have been published in this book or that book." But Brother Paul is saying, "No, I'm nothing. My boast is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's it." And then the other boast that's going to happen just here shortly, as we get to verses 21 through 33 in this chapter, I believe that he's setting up, he says, "You know what, you're causing me to boast. I know the Holy Spirit's going to come out in this." But he says, "Bear with me in this folly, because I'm going to tell you what the Lord's done in my life. And it's mighty, so you better be ready." So that's really what he's talking about here. Now verse 2, he says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." That word "jealous" means wants to have you. And praise be to God, this brother truly stepped into the very heart of God. He had the very heart of God. He had the very love of God. He wanted these people for God. And he wanted the best that God had for them. He had God's very desire. This is the jealousy that he is speaking of here. And he says, "For I have espoused you to one husband." Notice this. "I have espoused you." And that word "espoused" is so wonderful. It means he's joined you. He's joined you. He's given you in marriage. And praise God, this is what Paul's message has brought to man. It is the message that we have been offered to be espoused unto Christ. Isn't that wonderful? This is what Brother Paul, this is the great mystery. This is the plan, the intention. You've heard me use that Greek word before, sunkleronimus. It's the sunkleronimus mystery. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's again be refreshed and hopefully encouraged tonight. I know it's the hump day. And let's be thankful for more than just it's midway through the week. So here we go, chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 3. Brother Paul speaking, the high water mark of the Word of God. So wonderful. Here it is. "He that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Oh, this is a mystery. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Now, many people will try to take this and say, oh, in other ages, what he's talking about is, you know, before the planets. But no, in other ages unto the sons of men. These are saved. These are God's people. He's talking about our Old Testament brothers and sisters. He's talking about the Moses. He's talking about the Elijah. He's not leaving out the ladies, Ruth and Esther, either. To God's precious people, the full overcomers, even in the Old Testament. It wasn't made known to them. Know this. As it is now revealed. As it is now revealed. Unto his holy apostles. And you think about who Brother Paul is with at this time. He's with Timothy. He's with Titus. He's with Apollos. He's with these going through Corinth. As he's known, he's been talking about these different ones. And they're going to come shortly. These are the holy apostles and prophets that this was made known unto through Paul by the Spirit. You're never going to know this unless you have the Holy Spirit. You're never going to have this. You're never going to know this until you're abiding in the Holy Spirit. And if you think how precious this is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse, if the Lord tarry, we will read. It says, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. This is what he's speaking of here, the Spirit. Communion with the Holy Ghost. It's never going to happen until you have that communion, that relationship, that yielding. That vessel that's content to sit before that teacher of the one who will take the things of Christ and make them mine. How perfectly this word of God lays out. Chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That word fellow heirs is synkleronymous. It means joint heirs as man and wife. That is the mystery. That was something that they wanted to look into in the Old Testament. That's something that Daniel said, Lord, don't close this thing up. Let me see more into this. And he said, it's not for you, brother. You're going to have a wonderful portion. But praise be to God, this is for an age that's to come, the very church age, hallelujah, that we're in. That now we can be one with him as man and wife. Okay? Now, this is the espousal. This, going back to the second verse, he's loved you with godly jealousy. God loves you, and he's a jealous God. He wants you and you alone. It's not in vengeance, it's just in love. He gave his son, he loves you so much. Hallelujah. And he wants that worshiper that's going to worship him in spirit and truth. Isn't that precious? Praise the Lord. He is searching for that goodly pearl for his son. But I have espoused you, and notice it is here, to one husband. We're already joined with Christ as his body. I can't go anywhere else. He's my head. We talked about this in Corinthians. Why, though, is the urgency to one husband? It's different. I can't get away from this body, but I sure as can, and ladies, you know this, you don't have to be, in a sense, in loving submission I'm talking about here. You don't have to be in loving submission to that husband. You don't. Neither do we, in a sense, as his people. This is different that he's speaking about here. I can't detach myself from that body as a child of God. I'm part of that wondrous body, and he's my head. But the headship of he being my wife, that's something different that I'm cherishing at this time. And again, only through the Holy Spirit am I going to be led into that kind of union with my wonderful Lord and Savior. But notice as it goes on, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This word, that I may, this is not a surety. Huh? If you know the grace of God, you could never separate yourself from the love of God. As a child of God, as one that is saved, nothing can separate me from His love. So He must be talking about, again, something else, something greater that He's offering to me that I may take it, that I may yield to this, that I may attain this very desire of God, that I would be one with the husband. Think about the next word, that I may present you. How the Lord brought me into this study, I can't even imagine. I'm just so thankful. This word present, it means to place beside. Not making this stuff up, it is what it is. It's exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. To be placed beside. I don't know about you, but in all the pictures that I see, the one that is beside is the wife beside her husband. It's the queen that is beside the king. As it says in the Word of God, and as it says in Revelation specifically, there are those four living ones that are found only in the very midst of the throne. They're in it with Him. They're not that innumerable multitude that stands before the throne and observes the glory. No, praise be to God. She is the glory. She's His glory. Read there in Revelations that wonderful bride adorned coming out of heaven, having the glory of God. She has her own light. She's so like Him, she shines. She can't help it. She's just in love. You ever seen a lady really in love? Ready to be married? She's a glowing woman, isn't she? I hope to be a believer that is glowing to be married to my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But notice here too, it's not just presented, but presented as a chaste virgin to Christ. And again, it only gets better. This word chaste means immaculate. It means pure. Even more so, it means clear, transparent. The only thing you see is Him. Brother Hill used to talk about that sincere, clear to the light, huh? See lots of heads shaking. So wonderful. What truth has been presented from this pulpit over the years. Thanks be to God. But she's clear. Christ is only seen in her. She's been fully tested. She's perfect. A lot of people think, oh, how could you be perfect? You're still caught up in sinless perfection. That was already taken care of when I accepted Christ as Savior. When are you going to get it? When are you going to get it? What does justified mean? Just as if I never sinned. He took them as far as the east is from the west. He put them in the sea of forgetfulness. It's gone for me. I am resting in who He has made me. I'm new creation. Praise be to God. I have His very life, and that's the life I now live. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? So what's this perfection He's talking about? Maturity. Grow up. Get over yourself. Quit being immature. Isn't that even in the natural? Growing up, going through high school, all the guys with the chips on their shoulder, all the girls, they're, well, I can't comment there, can I? Shouldn't. I want to get out of this place tonight. But we need to quit being immature and grow up. And the way we're going to grow is in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it precious? Oh, really, it just runs chills up and down my body. Thanks again to the Lord. Going on, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, that means his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And think about this. He wasn't worried about corrupted from this and this and this, and you get caught up into these things. No, it's just from the one basic thing, from the simplicity. Think how complex people try to make something. This mystery is deep. But let me tell you something. This mystery is easy to be understood. It is. Because there's simplicity in Christ. It's just, it really is. It's in nature. It speaks to itself in everything. In my wonderful union with my wife, with my children. I understand how God set this up. And I understand in His Word how He set up the bride to be with His Son. And it's right there and it's evident. And there's children. There's the little sister. Sure, she's part of the family. But she's not grown up. She's not ready. Said she doesn't even have breasts yet. I always remember my grandpa talking about my little niece. She was all sad because she wanted to be a bride. And she was about 6 or 7. And she looked down at herself and she said, "I don't have no breasts, Grandpa." So she knew she couldn't be a bride yet. Well, that was something pretty scriptural here, huh? What do you think? Absolutely. But that Shulamite, she was fully developed. She ravished him. He couldn't take her eyes off her. That's how the Lord wants to be with you. And He really is. He can't take His eyes off you. And as you grow in Him, He just gets more excited all the time. And He says, "Oh, Father, can I go get her?" "Not yet, son. We're just not ready yet." Hallelujah. As much as we're anticipating that day, can you imagine how much He is? Praise the Lord. See, that should, again, make us so thankful and rejoicing. But here we go. "But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve." You think about this. This Eve, she was in a perfect place, wasn't she? Didn't have every want, every desire, in a sense, anything that she ever wanted, needed. It was there. It was perfect. You talk about a vacation spot. There's never been a spot like Eden. She had her husband. And really, he was perfect. Could you imagine? Never had an argument. There was no sin. What else could you want? And he was perfect. And guys, she was perfect. Isn't that amazing? Never a fuss, a squabble. Do you see how the Lord's speaking to us? He's given us something that's far more perfect than an Eden. He has. And it's to be wed to His Son. A far more beautiful man than Adam could have ever dreamed to be. And it's here. And I think about the verse, "His wife hath made herself ready." Isn't that amazing? It's not "his bride hath made herself ready," or the one who is thinking about it. His wife. She's living as His wife today. Not that she's attained, but just that she knows in His undying faithfulness, His desire of what He wants her to be. It's there. It's there for her. Just like Eve is in this Eden, it's there for her. He's got it taken. It's all under control. Everything's taken care of. It's there for us. But the craftiness, why she ever would have wanted to leave, she started listening to something else. She started to be deceived. Brothers and sisters, do we know what we have? It's not a popular thing. Let me tell you, Adam and Eve were quite alone. And we're quite alone as a people in a lot of ways too. I wish everybody would come into it. It's nothing of mine. Anyways, it's not of me, it's of the Lord. Brother Paul was the one that brought this in. Praise God. It came through that sweet vessel. And the Lord in His Word said, "I would that all men be saved and come to a full, complete, exact knowledge of the truth." That's the will of God for any and everyone who ever walked the face of this earth. But he duped her. He said, you eat this, you'll be like a god. You'll be wise. You'll be able to know good from evil. You don't need to be dependent upon that god anymore. Do you see the same things that that old devil was doing right then as the same things he does right now? He's never changed. He's evil through and through. All he wants to do is distill that crown from us, brothers and sisters, where the Word of God tells us to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Well, I know he can't take salvation from me, so what is he telling me he can take? It's the wedding ring. That crown's the wedding ring. He's placed it upon my finger. I believe in being in this place, you're hearing the message that he's placed it upon your finger. Now, are you holding it fast? Is he your one husband? Or are you listening to the deceiver's voice? Huh? Yeah. See, this is what Paul was getting at these people. He was saying, you got to wake up. You need to see what you have here. The emphasis of oneness with him. The faithful engagement to him. Living as his wife now. Now. Not someday. Now. Praise God. All right, let's go over to verse 4. For if he that cometh, listen to these words. I mean, this is tight and exact. For the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, let me tell you something. It's exact. It is. And we have it. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, meaning of from us, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That means don't be led away. Let's go to some verses here real quick. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. And I don't have a mark, so I'm turning with you here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. I sometimes get in trouble when I get there too fast. So, here we go. This is Brother Paul speaking to the Galatians. As we said before, say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, meaning of me, and it says that in the verse prior, or of us, let him be accursed. He's stunted. He can't grow. Who hath bewitched you, ye foolish Galatians? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Think of the things that are out there in Christianity. From the very foundation where people are causing God's people to worry and fret. Well, you might be saved. Let me tell you something. You're not in a process of being saved. You're either saved or you're not. And if you're saved, you're saved. Praise God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. When you accepted Him as Savior, you're in Christ. Most importantly, Christ's in you. And so sweetly, I'm in His hand. And then the Father's hand is over that. And no one's greater than my Father. And no one's ever able or ever will be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I think I'm safe. So if somebody's preaching other than that, even as a Christian, do you understand what they're giving you? They're accursed. Doesn't mean cursed and people get into thinking, oh, well, they're witches. And no, no, no. But they're deceived by the devil. You better know that. How about the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Oh, well, we'll just brush that one off too. Go through John and Acts and you'll find that the evidence of that is speaking in tongues. And it's vitally important. Only in spirit are you going to be led into these deep truths. Only in communion with the Holy Spirit are you going to go on and be enabled to go on for all of the things of Christ to be made yours. How about where people just broad brush what we're reading here tonight? Oh, the church is the bride. Church is not the bride. It's not. Over and over through it, the Word of God, if you'll rightfully divide it, you'll understand that out from among the church, from the very beginning, Adam sleeping there, representing the whole church. What does Thessalonians say? Don't be sleepy. Don't slumber. Don't be drunken as them in the night. Wake up, because that thief comes in the night. He comes as a thief in the night. And there was Adam sleeping. And my, oh my, who was taken out of him? The bride, his wife. And you know, it was amazing. God didn't have to take all of Adam to make that bride, did he? Took just a little teeny rib portion, didn't he? Right here, closest to the heart, the side. Praise God. Reach in there deep, Thomas. Thrust it in there. Get into my heart. How many times over and over in the Word of God, doesn't it excite you? I love this time. I love this time. It's real. There's nothing more perfect than this. You talk about, well, I don't even like to call it literature because it's the Word of God. I would never want to insult it. But what a read. Because it's alive. It speaks to you. Oh, praise God. What a wonderful thing. All right, we got to hurry along here. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. I think it's important to look at all of these sweet verses, brothers and sisters. And again, the validation of what Paul was given here. In the day, this is Paul again. Listen to these words. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The gospel that was given to Paul. This is what the judge is going to be. Not the judgment of heaven or hell. This isn't talking about that. This is talking about when Christ comes. The judgment for rewards. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. The gospel of grace. The gospel of the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go now over to 1 Corinthians 11:1. We're going to touch on this a couple more times this evening. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers. And that word follower means imitator. And it means an exact imitation. It means exactly to follow, exactly in those footsteps, not to deviate. Of what? Of me. This is Paul speaking. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I've got the blueprint to his best. That mystery that we read about there in Ephesians, this is what he's talking about. I've got it. The chief of sinners has also become the chief apostle. Only God. Huh? We're talking about, oh, why don't Christians have a testimony? I want you to have a testimony. I want to have a testimony. I want to have a testimony of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I know that he'll choose like the chief of sinners, people. He chooses like that thief on the cross. He takes those lowly and weird and things to kind of confound the wise. See, everybody's looking with these. I want to look with this. That's God's heart. This is His Son. It's where we need to be looking from. Praise the Lord. All right, and the last one. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. Paul again speaking of himself. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation, the stewardship of God, which is given to me for you. To what? To fulfill the word of God. What Paul had to say is vital. Because it wasn't Paul saying this. I hope you understand. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through him, the very word of God. We're not here to worship anybody but Jesus Christ, but understand the message that was brought through this vessel. This is the message of the high calling. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. From generations. He's speaking about men. This was hidden from them. This is something new. They could always be saved. They always had that wondrous blood. They put it up on the doorpost when it said, "And I will pass over you." They knew this. What is he speaking of here? But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the mystery of sunc laronimus, which is joint heirs as husband and wife, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's many others, brothers and sisters. We got to keep moving here, but absolutely marvelous. But how straightforward. She turned from the simplicity of it. And turning from the simplicity of this, brothers and sisters, is the preaching of another Jesus, the preaching of another gospel. That's what turning from this is. This is when error begins to happen in our lives. This is when error enters in to the life of a Christian, when you turn from the gospel of what Paul was bringing forth. And that's exactly what it is. And you'll see that a little leaven does leaven the whole lump. Another Jesus means you're accepting another spirit. And the only other spirit that you're going to get are going to be the spirits of what devil would bring. And it's talking about the evilness that can come upon us. The Lord allowed an evil spirit to come upon Saul. When you're not going on with the very things of God and you're allowing yourself to be duped, you're listening to the devil just like Eve did. You're being led by that. This is the word that he is speaking to his sheep, and his sheep hear and know his voice, and we have a choice. And the choice is to yield to him and say, "Lord, I want this. It is so awesome. It's so amazing. I don't want anything else. I'm in love with you. I don't want all these," as the ladies would say, "I don't want all these other guys. I just want him. He's the only one for me. I'm in love with him." So again, think about this. Why is he warning us with all this? Why is he warning these Corinthians if the whole church is the bride? Why is he warning these saved people? These are saved people. Why is he warning them if the whole church is the bride? Because the whole church is not the bride. That's why he's warning them. He's warning them because he wants them to apprehend the espousal. He wants them to apprehend that. He wants it to be real in their life. He wants the goal, the mark for the prize, to be the reality. I think this is such a magnificent portion of Scripture that truly brings out so clearly and perfectly the ranks. The one star differeth from another in glory. This isn't something to be proud about. This is just something to be in love with, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep moving along. We're really going to have to move. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. This is verse 5. So, and this is again him being a little bit sarcastic. It's basically saying in nothing was I behind the chiefest of apostles. He's being humble. This was the one that, again, be ye followers of me. The Holy Spirit allowed him to be able to say that. Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So yes, I don't believe that he was behind anybody. How about you? More importantly, the Word of God tells us that. All right, verse 6. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. So what he was saying here is he wasn't schooled in the rhetoric that was going on there. He wasn't necessarily the most eloquent or polished orator. But he had it all. He had it all. Because he had the direct revelation from God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12. That's Galatians chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it of man, is what he's saying, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, spiritually discerned, direct from Christ. This brother had it all. This was his validation. His validation is Jesus. All right. Going on, verse 7 here in the 11th chapter. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? You think about what a stupid question, but he's talking to us. You know, he's talking to mankind, so we've got to know who we really are. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. I didn't take anything from you guys. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, and that's the Philippian saints, the Berean saints, hallelujah, they took care of him. They supplied it. They gave their offerings, in a sense, to him so he could go and preach this marvelous message. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Isn't that precious? Again, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. See, what was going on at this time is the philosophers and the teachers that were coming up, the ones that were kind of dissing Paul is really what was going on. They're saying, oh, that Paul, he doesn't know anything. Look at remember how we read last week? Look at how he looks. You know, he's probably little and he can't see. He's walking around. He's got a cane maybe. I don't know. You have to lead him around. Probably, as we've read a little bit, probably not a very handsome person at all. Couldn't really look at him very well. And so they were so insecure because he was so bold in speech of the Lord, they couldn't go after what he was saying. They started going after his physical appearance. That's when you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, folks. That's when you're really insecure, is when you got to start going after other people just because of what they look like. Huh? And that's the truth. So many things in here. But the philosophers and the teachers of that day, they charged. They charged money to come and speak. I get those calls all the time. Can I come speak at your church? And this is what I charge. And it's true. It's going on today. Same thing. See, Paul did it for free, supported by those ones in Philadelphia and Berea. And how needful it was for this situation that those brothers and sisters in Philippi and the Berean saints took care of that. God took care of it, but he used those saints to do that. It was perfect. Because if it wasn't that way, those other philosophers and teachers of that day were going to say, oh no, you took that money. You are doing it just like we are. We're trying to make a living out of this thing. We need, you know, we need the scratch in order to come up here and do this. And he says, you can't lay that to me. God worked this out perfectly. Huh? And he wasn't proud in himself. He was just glorying in God. He said, God perfectly set it up. You all were so tight and weren't going to give me anything anyways. Here's my loving brothers and sisters that gave it to me. Don't feel bad because God had a plan in it. And I'm sure many of these sweet brothers and sisters in Corinth became very giving and generous towards the things of God. What do you think? I do. He wouldn't be preaching this high calling message to them if there wasn't a one that was going to take it. He was out there giving it to them. Praise the Lord, he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. In verse 11, wherefore, or why did I do this? Because I didn't love you? Oh, God knoweth. Praise be to God, it had to be Christ in him. We've been reading how much he was rejected and despised and insulted. He would have bagged this thing a long time ago if it wasn't for the love of God. He was getting insulted. He wasn't getting any money for it. You'd have to say, Paul, you better have your head examined. No, examine my heart. I've got the love of God. He's got me right here doing this. And see, can't you apply that to pretty much everything in your life? To say, Lord, the reason that you're causing me to endure this hardness as a good soldier is because your love for me. And I'm recognizing your great love for me, and that causes me to love you. And what a love match it really is, isn't it, brother? Praise the Lord how that love comes between us. We're going to move on. I want to keep going with this. Verse 12. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. So what he's saying here again is, by not accepting anything, his detractors couldn't say anything to Paul about him doing it for profit. And now we go to the atrocities that came from this, and we'll start here in verse 13. For such are false apostles. These are these ones that were coming at him. They're false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. This is kind of spooky. This is. And we need to be aware of this. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel here. Don't be surprised by this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See all the movies and pictures we get, we always see him with the horns and all this kind of stuff. And oh no, oh he's out there, oh, he'll be your friend. Oh, he'll cuddle up real gently. Oh yes. That serpent must have been a beautiful thing in that garden. Eloquent as eloquent can be. Yeah. And that serpent's still here. Oh yeah. God got a chain on him though. Always remember. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let's think about this. The reason that they were so atrocious and they are today is because they posed themselves as apostles. And you know they're out there today. God gives you discernment and he will. But they pose as apostles of light when they know they're not. There's no fear of God in these people. That's what's amazing to me. You don't fear God at all, do you? Nope. See, that's what self-righteousness can do to this point of defiance in many of today's religions. And again, it doesn't surprise us because Satan himself comes at us and is transformed into an angel of light, it says here. Whether it was to Eve in the garden. Think about the devil coming there in the wilderness to Jesus Christ. Oh, let me do all these wonderful things for you. We'll be friends. I'll show you what I can do for you. Thanks be to God that the same word that we have today, that's what was spoken to him. Devil, you got to get out of here. You can't even come up against the word. You've got to flee. He knew it was hopeless. And brothers and sisters, that devil knows it's hopeless in your life when you combat him with the sword. Hallelujah. He's got to flee. You'll make mincemeat out of him. Hallelujah. But again, we need to be ones that know how to wield this sword, to rightfully divide the truth. When he tries to bring a lie to us, oh no, that's not true. It's not what this says. And this is sharper than any two-edged sword, so you better go be picking yourself up and getting out of here. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Word of God does for us. Isn't that wonderful, wonderful? And again, you think about, too, the angel of light. He's going to empower a one, the Antichrist. And in Revelation 6, it says he comes in on a white horse. See, a lot of people think, oh, this Antichrist, it's going to be some, you know, spooky-looking thing. No, it's a white horse without a bow to conquer. Oh, yes. And they're going to think he's conquering for them. They don't realize that he's conquering them. Yes. And he cries out there in 1 Thessalonians, what does he say there? Peace and safety. That's that transformed angel of light that's coming. And this world is setting up for it big time right now. And you know it. The world is looking for that right now. The world is trying to come up with answers and solutions to all these problems. And it's going to run its course. And there's going to be one that comes. And he's going to be on a white horse. And he's not going to have a bow. He's going to have a bow and he's not going to have any arrows. I'm coming in peace. And then sudden destruction. And you know why sudden destruction? Because he who is hindering was taken out of the way. The bride. When that bride is gone, you talk about, as they use that expression, and excuse me, but all hell breaking loose. It's going to break loose like it's never been seen before. It's coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord what the Lord is doing in our lives. But again, we don't fret here because it says that they will be, again, what does it say here? Whose end, see, they have an end. Children of the King, we have no end. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal, everlasting. That's what the Lord, hallelujah, has done in our life. But their end is according to their works. And in that, it comes from a twofolder. It really gets every side of this if you really think about it. The unsaved false apostles. And we won't turn there, but in Revelation 20:12, you might mark that down. In Revelation 20:12, those that face that second death, those are the unsaved. They're going to be judged by their works. And you know what happens when you're judged by your works in the second death? You go right into the lake of fire. Justice is going to happen. Don't you worry. You're going to get payback. I want payday. You may think, and you think, man, how does that rascal get by with that? I hope you're praying for them. But they don't come around. This is what happens. But on the other side of that, do you realize that there's saved false apostles? Oh, yes, there are. Saved and filled false apostles. But see, we've already read about their works. And we read about them back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. And you know what happens to their works? It's called wood, hay, and stubble. And it burns. And it burns up. But they don't. Thanks be to God. Because they can never be separated from His love. They're still His children. They're still His family. He still has that great love for them. I'd love to go on, but I think I've taxed you. Oh. I hope you enjoy this. I'm so thankful. I believe you do. And it's wonderful, brothers and sisters. Just kind of... The tie's not here. It's kind of like when you're flying through all the clouds and here was the ice and clouds were real low, and it's just like this all the way through, and then you broke out and you landed and you sit in that plane for a while and you go, whew. I kind of feel like that. Praise the Lord. I love you all. Let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Robert, you dismiss us, would you?